You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. And here we are once again. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Hi, you guys. What day is today? It's October 28th. This is episode 122 of the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. And it's good to be here. It's been chilly AF here in Austin, Texas, the past couple of days. This morning it was rainy and chilly. Actually, not even chilly. It was fucking cold. But I have a vehicle, a 2002 Ford Explorer that was gifted to us by a friend who moved, and knowing that hey, this motherfucker is going to need some repairs, and it's like I want to honor you with this gift / burden, and we took care, and I took care of that, so I was able to drive it to work. Without fear of suspension failure or whatever else, and it was nice. I mean, the heater still needs to be fixed, but normally I'm riding a scooter and bundling up or wearing some kind of rain gear to get to where I'm going. So it was a pleasant change, and I really appreciated it. I had my birthday last Thursday. That went well. My fiance gave me, was like, birthday kind of snuck up on me with all the wedding planning. Which, by the way, wedding planning is fun. With all the things that you have to worry about, like the reservations, the online reservations, the flowers, more flowers. Did I mention flowers? Caterers, tuxedos. You get it. It's great. So that happens next month. It's coming up. Jesus. But she got me, but she totally just was like, we're going to have a low key. I didn't ask you what you wanted. I'm asking you now. Like, there's anything you want? I went, not really. Like, in my head, it's like, what do I want? I want to be left alone with everything. I want to be able to just go, I have nothing to do. Which actually, technically, that was my birthday. I mean, I went to work for a few hours, but I basically, she's like, I did all the kind, she did all the household chores and everything possible that I would need to do or want to do. Just got it out of the way. It's like, here, you don't have to do shit. Also, I got you this. So she did get me a gift. She got me this, like a Fit Watch, one of those things that's connected to your phone. And has like, it counts your steps and your heart rate and all that shit. And then also it's got this training button. So these are the things that you can train with on the phone, on the watch. It's a running, walking, cycling, alpinism. What? Skipping has its own tab. Tennis, baseball, basketball, badminton, football, rugby, and table tennis. No soccer, though. I don't play soccer. I don't play any of those fucking things, but I just find it weird that they have nothing, that they have no tab for soccer, but they have a tab for fucking skipping. Some would call that jump rope, but I guess we're going... It's actually got a picture of a rope, but they're like, no, it's, it's skipping. But I'm thinking, skipping as a kid, like to school as an activity. But yeah, so there's all these tabs that I'll never use because none of those things are enjoyable to me anymore. Walking, I guess that's it's more of just a mode of transportation, not necessarily a pastime or an exercise activity. It's walking, for fuck's sake. Anyway, but it's a very, very fancy watch. I really appreciated it because, honestly, the two biggest things is it tracks like your sleep, how much of your deep sleep versus light sleep, and how healthy it is, and that's actually important to me. And then also the most important feature is I can change my Spotify. I can pause and skip song from my watch without having to pull my phone out of my pocket. That's actually the biggest feature. It's got all this other shit, but really all I needed was a button that just goes, no. But I love it. Yeah. So, you know, another thing I learned about I was reminded with birthday is the Facebook birthday wishes that you get that people still do. And for a while there, like, it was great. You remember when it was great for a few years, and then for a few years there, it was kind of annoying. Like, you were annoyed to have to check it and respond to every single person. Like, oh, I've got so many friends. I can't believe I have to like all these fucking posts. Like, it was actually a bother. I don't know if you've gone through that. I went through that where I was just like, I can't with all these, you know, who are these people kind of a thing. But it's come back around now to where I appreciate them again. What I like about it now is, because I don't get on social media, like, I don't read social media hardly at all now. So when dealing with the birthday wishes, it's almost like they're almost like reminders of people that you forgot existed. Like, no offense to anybody in particular. It's just, you know, you go about your own system, and if you don't read certain posts, if you only see a couple of posts a week on Facebook or whatever, you just kind of, you lose track. You know, maybe you're in your 40s. I'm in my 40s. You lose track of everything. And so it's nice to look, and people who have wished you happy birthday, you see their name and you're like, oh, holy shit. From high school, oh, from college, oh, from summer camp or whatever the shit, you know, just all these different, oh, that person tried to be a comedian for about a year, like this kind of thing. So it was, you know, it was great. It's actually made me consider I need to start wishing people a happy birthday, just posting just randomly. I really ought to do that. It requires very little effort in your self-involved day. It's, you know, it's just a nice reminder of, like, you know, it jogs your memory, and most of them are pleasant. You know, there's a few, you know, for the most part, there's a few, you know, there are a few posts of like, I don't even know who this person is. And that's okay, because John, you're 47. You're lucky you remember anything, because you used to be a junkie and an asshole. And that's a bad combination, especially for remembering people who actually give a shit. Anyway, next Tuesday, it's a big day, November 3rd. It's a big day. It's the deadline. It's the final deadline to make important decisions about your future. And of course, I'm talking about the NFL trade deadline. Wow. It's going to be interesting. You're going to really get to see who is actually trying to make the playoffs and who's trying to tank for Trevor Lawrence. If you don't know who Trevor Lawrence is, he's a quarterback for Clemson, I'm told. I don't know who that is. I've seen his picture. He's a handsome young man. However, I don't watch college football because I barely have enough sports memory room for the NFL and the NBA. And I could make room for college, but I don't like college kids. I'm fine with watching professional adults, you know, professionals. Absolutely fine with that. I don't want to root for a 19-year-old. I can't go, come on, teenager. How's your emotional well-being? I don't care. Run with that ball. I can't do it. I can't get behind. Also, I'm not going to root for a college I didn't go to. And I'm certainly not going to root for the college I went to. Go on, Howard Payne, Yellow Jackets. Sting 'em, Jackets. It's fucking weird. I graduated 24 years ago. I don't fucking care. And I know that logic is like, well, why would you root for a football team for a city you don't live in that you visited once? And I don't know, because it's fun. There's no logic to it. I get it. There's no logic to it. All I'm saying is I don't know anything about college. Regardless, Trevor Lawrence is his quarterback who plays for Clemson, who everybody wants and thinks is going to be dynamic, which I kind of, like, a little part of me hopes that he gets to the NFL and is, you know, and isn't great. Just a wah-wah kind of a thing, but I hope he gets paid, you know, whatever. Anyway, all I'm saying is November 3rd is an important day. I think there's other things going on that day, but that NFL trade deadline is something else. What's funny is you can tell who's going to, they haven't even announced some trades, but you can tell who's going to be traded. People are, because, you know, the sports reporting desks are, they analyze players who they unfollow on Twitter, who they follow and unfollow as hints as to what's going on. And they also look at real estate listings. And there's a great example of that is that New England defensive cornerback, Stephon Gilmore, who's reigning defensive player of the year, by the way, he not so subtly put up his house for sale with the deadline for offers being 5 o'clock on November 3rd, which is 1 hour after the trade deadline ends. Subtle. Guess who's not going to be a Patriot after that day? So it's a good day. Some of you don't care. It's fine. I have definitely overplayed this bit. All right. Oh, and good luck with the other shit going on November 3rd. Here's one other thing I wanted to bring up because this is really bugging me. I don't know if you've come across any kind of advertisements like this, but they're very common, and I know you have. They've been commercials on TV, but also ads on YouTube before you try to watch the thing you really want to watch. And anytime the ad involves children or implies children because it's for the family, like there's a family on the screen or whatever, the stock music that's playing in the background of the ad has a motherfucker whistling. And I don't understand why whistling implies children. I don't understand that connection. I don't know. I don't remember liking the sound of whistling when I was a kid. I didn't have records of whistling. I don't know if anybody likes whistling. Think of the last time you heard somebody whistling, and then try to remember, did you enjoy it? I think you didn't. I think it's really annoying. I think it's been months since I've heard somebody whistle, like trying to whistle a tune. It's just, oh, it's so, every time I hear it, I want to throw my computer, and it's a weird irrational hate that I have for whistling and background musics of shit they're trying to sell. And I've made, you know, I would like to propose that to everyone, if you see an ad for something and there's whistling in it, never buy that product. And if you've got a lot of time on your hands, contact the company and tell them you didn't buy the product because there was fucking whistling in the ad. I'm going to try to do that as well. I think we can make a change. I think we can make some serious change in this world by eliminating whistling from goddamn advertisement. I think the world would be a better place. That's all I'm saying. Moving on. I hope you are staying sober. Sober people out there. Hope it's been an okay week for you. If you're not a sober person, hope you're staying sane. Relatively. I understand the emotional strain that is going on in these trying times. I recently got a message on increasing the number of job searches I need to do for unemployment, because I do not work full time yet. But I was like, well, now you got to start doing job searches. We're going back to the way things were. Business as usual. You know, coronavirus is spiking everywhere. Business as usual. Election's coming up, and then, you know, you're not going to hear about 900 people a day dying in the news. It'll only be a blurb. All right. If you say so. Anyway, hope you're fine with all that and keeping it together and so on and so on. I had this article I wanted to read to you, and I don't know how long, how much of it I'm going to get into. Hang on. I just got an email from my apartment complex face mask reminder. We want to take a moment to issue a reminder regarding some community policies. As a reminder, the city of Austin is still under a face mask mandate due to the ongoing pandemic. Please remember that masks are currently required in all of common areas, including the leasing office, fitness center, and laundry facilities. Yeah, of course. Okay, I thought that they were going to start telling me to... I thought this was because of me, because I just saw, like, the apartment personnel, and I wasn't wearing a mask outside in the parking lot because I'm alone in the parking lot in the sun. And I thought that they were going to... that was them getting on me. They were not. That's fine. I'm like, yeah, of course we're going to still wear masks indoors in common area. Of course. But thanks for the reminder. I'll be sure to keep doing that. All right. So this article that I got from the New York Times is called, with a clickbait title. And the clickbait title is, "This Addiction Treatment Works. Why Is It So Underused?" Now, I've already read this, so I can say that this is a clickbait title, and also "This Addiction Treatment Works" should be "works" parentheses "for some." All addiction treatment works for some. To just leave it there, this is written by Abby Goodenough. Well, Abby, obviously you've never dealt with recovery, so good reporting. Anyway, it's an approach called contingency management rewards drug users with money and prizes for staying abstinent. But few programs offer it, in part because of moral objections to the concept. Well, when you pitch it like that, contingency management, you know, when you pitch it as, well, I would like to reward drug users with cash. That is a bad sell. Because immediately people are like, I'm not going to give a drug addict money for not doing drugs. They'll take that money and go do drugs. That's immediately what you think. Anyway. All right. So Stephen Kelty had been addicted to crack cocaine for 32 years. Jesus. When he tried a different kind of treatment last year, one so basic in concept that he was skeptical. He would come to a clinic twice a week to provide a urine sample, and if it was free of drugs, he would get to draw a slip of paper out of a fishbowl. Half contained encouraging messages, typically, good job, but the other half were vouchers for prizes worth between $1 and $100. Man, can you imagine? Where you're like, oh, big money, and keep going. Oh, fuck you, keep going. I want a dollar. You know, it's that seems kind of backfire-ish. Anyway, all right. She says that big money, and I got grats. Congrats. Big money, and I crapped out. I got a one day at a time slip. Awesome. His quote, I've been into a lot of rehabs and there were no incentives except for the idea of being clean after you finished. Yeah, no incentives other than not dying. Fine, said Mr. Kelty, 61, of Winfield, Pennsylvania. Some of us need something to motivate us, even if it's a small thing, to live a better life. Now, that's not wrong, but it's also kind of a like, your motivation should be to no longer be homeless and in a gutter. Like to, but I get it. But still. The treatment is called contingency management because the rewards are contingent on staying abstinent. A number of clinical trials have found it highly effective in getting people addicted to stimulants like cocaine and methamphetamine to stay in treatment and stop using the drugs. Now that's weird because this is, I read this and I read some other data about it. And it is. It's effective specifically for people who are addicted to uppers, like coke and methamphetamine. And that's actually what they're talking about is because people who are addicted to opiates, they've got drugs. Like they've got other kinds of medications like methadone and buprenorphine, basically Suboxone. So that you've got medications that you know you can get a prescription to assist you in getting off a drug without the withdrawal symptoms destroying you. Although I've heard. For some people, actually kicking methadone, the withdrawal symptoms from methadone is actually almost worse than the withdrawal symptoms for heroin. But I think that comes from people not doing that particular medication correctly. So it's interesting that because there's no medications that can block like the like those receptors for, you know, that drug. There's nothing like that for meth and for coke. So it's weird that this is something that they've discovered that, you know, you give people kind of these little rewards, yay, good job awards. Apparently, I don't know what it is. It's like a different personality or something. I guess the personality that is attracted to meth. Or hell, man, yeah, or like Adderall, like addicted to Adderall, like this could really, like it motivates them, I guess. And it's weird that it only works for one and not the other. But some treatment providers are also, let's see, researchers said one of the biggest obstacles to contingency management is a moral objection. Oh, God, there it is. The moral objection to the idea of rewarding someone for staying off drugs. This is one reason publicly funded programs like Medicaid which provide health coverage for the poor, do not cover the treatment. And I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. Oh, good. The government is throwing morals into healthcare. The government has morals. Some treatment providers are also wary of giving prizes that they say patients could sell or trade for drugs. Greg Delaney, a pastor and the outreach coordinator at Woodhaven, oh, there's your problem right there, and the outreach coordinator at Woodhaven, a resident treatment center in Ohio, said, until you're at the point where you can say, I can make a good decision with this $50, it's counterproductive. It's not really, because these are the, Greg is the same kind of guy who won't give out clean needles to needle users, because it's like, well, I don't want to encourage them to do drugs. No, but you're going to encourage them to get infected by reusing their needles because you won't provide them. It's like, if they're already going to do it, you're not going to help them at all. And I don't know how effective giving, like I don't think just handing them cash, but like gift cards or whatever makes sense for incentives. I don't think it's a bad idea. It's an interesting idea. It is. It does make me wary about it, because I can see it going both ways, and that's the issue. It can't be a program. It can't be like a blanket program that anybody can sign up for. You know what I mean? Otherwise, people are going to take advantage of the system. What it's got to be is an option that a treatment center can put somebody on if they feel like they meet the criteria, or like a reward system for somebody who's doing good but needs help. Because I'll tell you, when I got out of the SMART program, which was the 5-month drug treatment, jail light, as I called it. When I got out of that, I had to go into a sober house and had to start working. And the only job I could get was part-time until I was there long enough to be able to be hired full-time. And money was really, really tight. And starting out like that was like, oh shit, you know, what am I going to do? And like different programs that I signed up for to help me out gave me, like Goodwill, for example. People shit on Goodwill a lot, but you know what? The Goodwill program for like helping you look for a job, they gave me like a free bus pass for a month. They gave me a gift card to HEB. And both of those things were really helpful at the time. So it's interesting to me. So the idea of getting some kind of rewards, you know, it's easy to kind of throw it away as somebody who, well, these people are going to sell it. You don't know. It depends on the person. It depends on their drive, where they are. Are they really going to try? Are they trying to get out of it? Because, man, during those key first few months when you're trying to make it work and you're trying to do everything right, you know, sometimes all you need, you know, just having a little bit of money that you can spend on, like that's out of your budget, and you're buying a pack of cigarettes. Man, what a relief, dude. What a relief a pack of cigarettes is that you didn't budget for, and you're just trying to relieve stress, and you're like, oh God, here we go. Fucking great. Or being able to get fast food instead of eating cheaply, you know, and living off of, you know, sober house pantry shit, you know? So reward system, that's an interesting idea if it's done right. But to just flat out exit because, you know, well, I have a moral stand. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You can't blanket everything. You can't totally be all in on it, and you can't totally be against it. Things have to be done, you know, on a case-to-case basis and be able to, you know, but I don't see why you can't at least have it as an option, be something to visit. It's an interesting idea, but I just thought I'd share that. It's an interesting idea. Motivating, a little motivation. I wouldn't have half the slips be some kind of cutesy, shoot for the stars, hang in there with a picture of a cat. Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't have the bowl be half positive affirmation messages that'll just grind into you if there's no cash in it. It's like, you either need to give them a prize of some kind. You need to give them something or not at all. Like, you can't let them draw in a lottery. You're either going to get cash or you're going to give some optimism, or like a positive affirmation poster, but on a piece of paper, because nothing will slap you in the face more than just like a, hey, we're behind you, like right in your face. And like, I wanted a dollar. I could use a Hershey's bar. I'd rather have a Hershey's bar or a little snack than somebody trying to give me a high five and a note. That's all I'm saying there. All right. That's it for this week, I think. Don't you think? I think. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for joining me. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Bad for the piercing skin. Come back down to earth again. Cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone.